If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for a Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Welcome to Kyle Abb, presented by Agnox. As always, I'm joined by Agjack, Billy Big Shot. And a little switch up on you here. We're actually joined by Shrikito instead of Cowdog for now. Not really sure who that lazy fuck Cowdog is, but welcome, Shrikito. What's up?
Yes, sir. We back in it.
Let's go, baby. Hey, Shrikito's baby mama has been wilding as of late, so you may hear some children in the background. You never know.
For real, bro. Every time, man. Never fails. Podcast night, it's like, oh, no, we took a 3-hour nap today. It's done, bro. So... Y'all bear with me, but
They didn't get the mute button update over to Mexico yet.
Not yet, bro. I was like, they got the NyQuil for babies update, but it hasn't kicked in, bro.
All right, so let's get right into it, fellas. I think we're saying it's March 14th, 2023, and it's another day that A&M has been fucked by a selection committee, whether that be the CFP, and now again for the second year in a row, the NCAA selection committee. How are we feeling?
I mean, we knew this was coming. Like, with the blowout loss to Alabama in the SEC championship game, you had to know it was coming. With our track history of getting absolutely bent over and fucked by the NCAA, I'm not shocked that we are the best 7 seed that the fucking tournament has ever seen.
I'm going to say that it is shocking for sure. No one could have expected this, even though Billy predicted it. I think it was a spite prediction. No, it was wild. Like, it was obviously for the ratings. We've got the game lined up with Texas. We'll talk about that later. Everything pointed to us being at least a 5 seed, at least a 5 seed, maybe a 4 seed. Looking at some of these numbers, there was like a tournament bracketology prediction percentage thing based on like all the accolades of a team. Coming in for Texas A&M, we had a 3 seed at 36.8%. We had a 4 seed, 19.9%, 5 seed, 8.2%. And all the way down at 0.8% was a 7 seed. So extremely unlikely, definitely targeted.
Also, another thing. All right. So imagine this. As bros, we are picking the bracket. Like, we're picking the seeds. Like, we have complete control over who is playing who and what matchup. Like, what if this was Michigan, Ohio State for us instead of Texas A&M, Texas? Would you not slate Michigan in order for the matchup? Because, like, that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, if the seeds are close enough, I think that it's kind of like a no-brainer because it's just hype. But also, there was stuff about it afterwards where they were saying that the committee was mad at Buzz because he made comments last year when we got snubbed. And it feels like, from my perspective, I know we recorded this pod yesterday. We didn't follow through with it. It was kind of a disaster. But from my perspective, something that I said was, do you think that the committee looked at this and they said Texas probably deserving of a 1 seed, A&M obviously deserving of a 5 or a 4 seed. Let's pin them up against each other and expect Texas to blow out A&M on the national stage and just humiliate the shit out of Buzz Williams. I think it could have been in play.
I think if you're playing the humiliation game, I think you'd slide us against Purdue, bro. I'm not really buying the whole humiliation vibe. I mean, they know we're capable of beating a 1 seed. We tossed Alabama around a couple times this season.
I don't know about that, but...
We tossed them around. No, man.
That's a little crazy, but I don't know. I agree that I probably would do it if the seeds were close, but we were just not even deserving of a 7 seed. They would have, I mean, I don't even know. I guess if they put Texas as a 1 seed, we would have had to be in an 8. So that would have been a little tougher to slate that one. But I'm curious, what do you guys think? Which one feels worse, this year's snub or last year's? I think it feels a little bit worse this year just because it knows it feels like we're a better team versus last year. It felt like, we could limp into the tournament and maybe get our chance, but we probably weren't going very far, I would think.
Definitely last year was worse in my opinion, man. I mean, you got to get involved, dude. And you got to be there to just fucking be there, you know, like being here, being, I know we're going to show up, but I welcome it because this is part of the banter. This is why we watch the sport. I mean, who's not to say, you know, we can't overlook Penn State, but at the end of the day, if we look at it from an optimistic view and we beat the shit out of Texas to make it to the Sweet 16, I mean, what's next?
That's what we did in the College World Series. That was sick. They were supposed to be the better team then too. So we'll see. Yeah. I'd be hyped. That'd be sick to knock them out in two sports in basically a year.
I'm not saying we can't beat them. I think we can beat them for sure. But I think that the committee just saw it, opportunity, get them close enough. We'll fuck A&M over in the process and go from there. Because to be honest with you, like, there aren't that many compelling round two matchups. I don't know if that's just like an issue overall with college basketball nowadays or not, but like, if A&M and Texas both win, you probably circle that game for the average college basketball fan, the average college sports fan, and you say that might be the most compelling game of Saturday, right? Or maybe the entire second round.
I mean, I'm going to fall back on, like, as bros, being like data only, like, insight position. Like, bro, I would have made the same call. Are you serious? Like,
you're a terrible, you would be the worst on a selection committee.
And so that's why I would get hired, right?
I don't know if I understand. I mean, I guess
I might get promoted to president at that point.
I understand you would do that, but I don't see it.
Is that not what they did? Come on.
I don't think the guys on the selection committee are bros. I think they're probably all random.
Well, that's
dude, they're a fucking huge college sports fan, college basketball fans at that. They root for good games. They root for rivalry. They love that shit. Are you serious?
Tom, you're right to an extent. They were bros at one point. Now they're like 70-year-old white men, 80s. They're concerned with one thing and one thing only, and that's money and ratings and putting out the best product that they can. So yes, there are outside factors playing into this, and they're probably salty. They're probably mad at Buzz. I think all of the things that we've talked about are definitely valid.
I mean, the good thing is that at least like legitimate like reporters, like sports heads, like people that actually have a platform are acknowledging it. Like, you know, like Barstool Big Cat. Like, yeah, I mean, it's fucking literally Barstool out of all people. But hey, man, they got millions of followers. So at least it's being acknowledged. It's not just like whatever. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they're holding it against. I know it felt way different coming from like the guy who said, oh, Lenardi told him, but them punishing Buzz for last year feels like crazy. I think they're just undervaluing us because we lost to fucking Wofford at home and wherever the other quad four loss was. And
the John Morantless Murray State.
That's right.
That was the issue. We had the two Q4 losses, but when you stack up the resumes, I can't find the tweet right now. I was looking for it, but
no, the Kentucky, like we're better than Kentucky and Tennessee, like head to head. Besides Kentucky, obviously, I think it's the Tennessee we're head to head. We beat them and we're better record than them, and they still got seated higher than us.
Yeah, I mean, we were second in the SEC to the number one overall seed. We beat the number one overall seed last week, and I know that we got pumped by them at the end in the SEC tournament. But guess what? We were in the SEC tournament. You know how the SEC tournament final, and you know how we got there? By beating Vanderbilt. We beat the brakes off Vanderbilt, who just shit pumped Kentucky the night before. And Kentucky's a six seed. Tell me. I mean, that makes sense.
That plays back into your ratings thing. It's ratings and money, dog. Like, what's Kentucky's matchup? And debatably, I would say
they got set up too. They got set up because there's a guy, I can't remember his name right now, the guy who transferred. Who are they playing? It's
Providence.
Yeah. I don't know who the guy who transferred, but he's a Kentucky transfer, and it's like supposed to be this huge revenge game for him to.
Fire Nation, baby. Also a good upset pick for the week. Just throwing that
out. Dude, they've been getting piped lately. My buddy's a big Providence fan, and he tells me to bet on them all the time, and they've been just taking fat notes.
Dude, I'm more of a – there's a small part of me that believes that the Creighton-UT matchup will be harder than the Penn State A&M matchup.
The Colgate-UT.
Oh, fucking Jesus. Yeah. Cut that part out. But the Colgate-UT matchup may be harder than the A&M-Penn State matchup.
There is some low-key hype on Colgate, but I did read something about how they're like, on average, they might be one of the shortest teams in the entire field, like height-wise. So
shooting percentage.
It's going to have to be a three-point barrage, like just stupid five Steph Currys all around. Maybe.
But that's where you can get hot in the tournament. I did like some extensive research on TikTok of this one dude who, like, you know, he goes through sleepers. He lets us know. yeah, it's huge. And he was saying Colgate's an upset candidate. He also, I'm not going to reveal my picks for later, but did some research on my own, and it was just going to be some big picks. Let's actually, let's segue.
So that must be the first time you did your own research.
No. This happens every time. You just usually yapping, I would say.
Man, this would have been the perfect cowdog segue if we're doing your own research.
Exactly. Do your own research with Cowdog Clay.
The one time we need Cowdog in here. God damn it.
RIP Cowdog. He's had a tough day today. He got laid this weekend at the rodeo. Just putting that out there. In case anyone listens to this.
Wow, dude.
In case Suzanne's listening to this. So, anyways, let's talk about everyone's, we're going to do favorite first round upset pick, and then we're going to do everyone's final four. Shrek, you're the guest. Go ahead, baby.
I'll start this shit off, baby. So I'm rocking with VCU. I've been about them, rode them through to the conference dub. You know, I mean, they got a pretty complete team. St. Mary's, don't know much about them, but fuck them. You know, 12 and fives are always tricky. So I'm going to go ahead and say they beat them. I know a lot of people are hot on UConn. So next round they beat UConn, and then they probably get spanked in the Sweet 16. But yeah, VCU is my rider.
VCU is like the darling five or the darling 12 to beat a five this year that everyone's talking about. And I'm like all in on it. I've had them win in all of my brackets, but that makes me worried.
Yeah. Are you going to go Final Four next, or you want?
Yeah, Final Four.
Yeah, my Final Four. So the West is still the one that I was a little iffy on. So I'll just go with my locks first. Miller with Bama. They're going to push it through, man. They're really talented. They're good basketball. Baylor's just not that impressive. UVA looked like shit against Duke. So that whole South side doesn't look great. Out the East, I think I got Duke making a run at it. Either Duke and Purdue, that's going to be the matchup. But if Duke can stay hot, that they can run it through. Been there, done that. You know, Coach
Davis
for the first time. And then out of the Midwest, I think I'm going to get shit on again like I did, but I still got to go with Texas, dude. If we're being rational about this, you know, I think we can match up, play pretty well. And I'm definitely going to take A&M to be fucking in the Final Four in all my brackets and donate some free money to the pool. But, you know, for my own rational sake for the pod, let's go ahead and stick with the Midwest. I'll take UT out of there. And out of the West, I'm going with Gonzaga. So Bama, UT, Duke, Gonzaga. That's all I'm rolling with.
Sorry, did you just say for my own rational take on the pod?
Right, that's right.
A&M Sports Pod.
Hey, one of us got to do it, bro. This can't be just a complete circle jerk. You know, we can't all just take turns jerking each other off, man. Somebody's got to do it.
You're saving face for the pod, but not when there's money involved.
Yeah, because if it does happen and I didn't bet on it, I mean, I can look back at the pod and be like, I said it on the A&M Sports Cat Pause, but if I cared enough to put my own heart and soul money earned on the line, that's when you know it feels good. So,
Jesus.
You might be 1-for-4 on those. Those were pretty terrible, I'd say.
Well, we'll circle back to it, dude. We got about three.
We're gonna have to revisit your guest status on the show, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Let's see it.
All right, Jack, you're up.
All right. So everyone's gonna think this is biased, but.
Wait, before you start, UNC's not in the tournament, just so you know.
Yeah, we can have a more thorough discussion about that at a later
point. You know, if UNC would have snuck in as a 12 seed, they could have matched up Duke in the first round. What a ratings game that would have been.
That would have been.
Think about the ratings. Think about the ratings.
Yeah, it would have been like too much, honestly. I don't think anyone needed to see that again this year. Anyways, so my dogs down at Oral Roberts, they made a run, I think it was last year, as a 15 seed or the year before. But people are high on Oral Roberts. Duke is overseeded. Oral Roberts has a 7-5 guy to match Filipowski down low, which, like, they've gotten a big advantage on the boards. They've got a big advantage with just the size in the ACC. The ACC was weak this year. That was why they made their little tournament run. They're not shit. And I think that it could be a really funny thing where Oral Roberts just comes in, pops Duke in the face, ends their season first round. And
dude, you know, they've got the Jez legend. This is where Cowdog is just absolutely missing two opportunities here. Max Abemus went to Giles Jez.
Is he on Oral or is he on Duke?
He's on Oral. He's like their star player.
Yeah, well, I'm getting Oral. I'm getting Oral on Thursday.
That just showed that was full logistical take and that there was no bias in that. You didn't know Oral's star player, but you're all in on
it. That's honestly sad. But my man did all that research and did not know the key player, Roberts, who was literally in the tournament. It was in the tournament last year. And
when I say that I'm doing research, I'm like, I'm going through the tournament challenge thing on ESPN and like clicking on the teams and like reading the little thing on the bottom and seeing what it says. That's my research.
You got to know ball more than that, bro. Max Amos is a stud, bro.
You got to trust your eyes. My eyes say Duke is gay. Moving on.
Second.
Final four.
Well, he had – wait, hold on.
What? Say with your chest.
He had 37 points against Western Illinois. You better put some respect on my man's name.
Bro, I told you I'm getting Oral on Thursday. There's no doubt about it.
The same. All right, go ahead.
Final four. I think – out of the South region, we got a team that is looking like quite possibly the best shooting team to ever play in college basketball in Alabama. Off the court, on the court, you already knew it was coming. But Alabama, super raw, super talented. Brandon Miller is like unbelievable. I can't believe he's a freshman, dude. He looks like he's been around for a minute.
A murderer? So,
yeah, for sure.
Broken him, dude. He's a great shooter.
Quite possibly.
He gave the gun. He's great at assists, dude. Gave the gun.
That is true. Can really hand it off.
No, so they're shooting assist. It just through the roof this season. So anyways, I think that – I don't know if we were going to talk about like specific games or if we're going to do that later on, but this one that's lining up for the Sweet 16, Alabama versus Virginia, could be like either one of the worst games you ever watch or one of the coolest, most awesome games you ever watch because – of the conflicting styles that they've got. Like Alabama gets up and runs. They've got fucking athletes and they're just going and they're shooting and they're shooting quick and they're moving. And then Virginia is just like the complete polar opposite. Like they want to play 40 to 42 games and they want to slow down every possession, play defense, make sure they use the whole shot clock. So that could just be an interesting one. And like, I hope that we end up seeing that. Moving on to the East region. Okay. Purdue, frauds. Edie, fraud. Marquette, on to the Final Four. My boys down in Marquette. I think is what's his face their coach? The guy who the VCU guy who's at,
yeah
Shaka. Yeah, so Shaka's their coach. Shaka's back. Shock the world. Midwest. I'm gonna take Houston. I think that like I heard this on another podcast. They're essentially like a professional college team. They're all like seniors, they're all like fucking men. And in this day and age in college basketball, that goes a long fucking way in this tournament. So I don't care if they're mid-major. Men? Go ahead.
I say, would you say they're all fucking men?
Yeah, they're all fucking men.
You heard it here.
And there's no problem with that either. So
you were one of them, right?
They've been here before. They are a mid-major, so it scares you a little bit. But this bracket's super weak, and I think they get there. And I do want to talk about that later on because – if A&M beats Texas, Houston could run into a buzzsaw somewhere, and then it's just wide open for A&M to run to the Final Four. Like, who else is in this bracket that's, like, worth a shit?
Who's nobody. Houston going to run into?
Who? A buzzsaw.
Into the buzzsaw, baby.
Yeah, who's a buzzsaw even close?
Well, we wouldn't have to play them until the Elite Eight anyways. But they could lose to, like, who knows? They could just fucking lose to somebody because they're a mid-major. Like, that's just what happens.
Dude, I got them going down to Indiana in the Sweet 16, so that checks out.
Well, there you go. And then, like, if Houston was out of the picture and we beat Texas, then we took care of that ourselves. The best team remaining, seed-wise, would be, like, fucking Xavier. Are you scared of Xavier? No. Moving on. West region. I'm taking Gonzaga. I wanted to take Kansas. I think Kansas could definitely repeat, but I think Kansas gets tripped up by a team like Arkansas or VCU or UConn. And then UCLA missing a starter, that's going to be a problem. Gonzaga's got experience. They've got Mark Few. Great fucking coach. Been there before. I put three mid-majors in the Final Four, and we're going to leave it at that. We'll get to the championship stuff later.
Got it.
After that novel, please continue.
Yeah, keep it pretty simple. Out of the South, I have Alabama.
Wait, hold on.
It's a podcast. It's not a tweet.
We're talking about upsets, right?
Yeah, your first round matchup upset.
Yeah, I'm still on the Drake over Miami game. There's too much hype around Miami for right now. No one's talking about this Drake squad.
Think Drake will
bet hyping Miami, and who is not talking about fucking Drake?
Do y'all think Drake will bet a million on Drake and like Drakeception, the Drake curse?
Bro, yeah, dude. That's the upset.
It is crazy for sure that he had a college named after him.
Yeah, dude, nuts. Like, established 1983, bro.
Drake was born in like 19.
I was like, how old do you think Drake is?
Yeah,
never mind. Bro. He was already there.
45.
He was already famous, dude.
Breaking news! Quickly, breaking news: the boys have landed in Des Moines, Iowa, and they look hyped. They're like dancing on their way into the hotel right now. As I speak.
Bro, act like you've fucking been there before. Jesus, save your.
Yeah, name. They're definitely acting like they've never been to Des Moines before. This is crazy.
Des Moines is pretty hype. I'm not gonna lie. So,
all right, yeah, go on. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure that we knew.
All right, but my upset's Drake over Miami. Final Four, I got. I'll keep it fast. Alabama, we already know that they are fucking slugs. I got Indiana coming out of the Midwest. I said it on yesterday's pod, dude. That is, I can't remember the movie's name, but that's
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. That's all that fucking state knows is basketball. Bunch of white guys who can wet threes at any given moment, like regardless of
tenacious defense being played. That's for
I think you're referring to like the 1980s, but yeah, continue.
Dude, no way Indiana. I'm telling you right now, like there are at least three starting like white guys or three white guys in the court minimum at a given point.
Great hustle and rebounding. A lot of that. Dude,
yeah. Lay up like no other. And then you know they got that lanky white guy in the freaking corner on the elbow, just like wetting threes. Coming out of the West, I have UCLA. Basically, UCLA is the best team coming out of here. Kansas is absolute dog shit. Everybody thinks they're overhyped a little bit on the UCLA side. I just think that they're going to come out with something to prove. On the East side, I think everybody in the East is absolute dog shit. Seeing as Kentucky's a six seed, yeah, absolute dog shit. Purdue's going to win out just because, like, it's not going to be very hard to win out of the East. And yeah, Final Four set at Alabama, Purdue, UCLA, and Indiana.
All right, respect. I'll bring us home here. The real picks. Everybody knows who to tail here. Let's not get it twisted. I'm going to start with my upset. I've got College of Charleston beating the piss out of San Diego State. I think I feel pretty good about this one. A team from the Mountain West. Yeah, thank you. Team from the Mountain West has not won a tournament game since 2018. San Diego State did the same shit last year. Charleston is absolutely wet, soaking, dripping from three. I'm just saying, dangerous combo in the tournament. San Diego State's usually a slow squad as well, so it's not going to do them any favors if they're just wet in threes. So I'm feeling good about Charleston. I think they get it done. My Final Four, Bama's a dangerous team. Wouldn't want to be around them. Luckily we're not in the same region, so we're gonna go with that one. I think Purdue, that giant motherfucker Alex Edey, is gonna carry them. Duke will put up a good fight if they can make it past Oral Roberts. We'll see. I don't buy into the Marquette hype. Shaka Smart, like, I don't know, did he ever make it past the Sweet 16?
I mean, yeah, what do you mean?
Did VCU? At VCU? Did they make Final Four?
I'm pretty sure they did, or they got close. I'm gonna look it up. Keep talking.
Okay. They might have made the Final Four in that. I think about it. Still, fuck Shaka Smart. West, I'm gonna go with my sleeper of UConn. feeling pretty good about them. I think the West region is good, but I think there's a lot of hurt teams there. So UCLA, I don't think makes it as far.
What's up? I like think of UConn. I just think of their women's basketball team. So I just think that's a fucking terrible pick.
I just think their women's basketball team is literally like the greatest college team ever, bro. Show some respect. Put some respect on Breonna Stewart. I don't know if y'all saw that Coke commercial in the first game. Little hilarious, I'm not going to lie, where they were saying, oh, like, who's the best UConn shot blocker? They're like fighting. It's like Lil Dicky fighting over a Coke. And he goes, oh, Hashim Tabeet. And, the guy goes, what are you talking about? It's Breonna Stewart. And I was like, come on, bro. What are we saying here? Hashim Tabeet? It's like when who said they could beat Boogie Cousins in one-on-one? Was it Brittany Griner?
It was Griner.
Yeah. Similar vibes, I would say.
But he couldn't even beat the Chargers in Russia, bro.
Bro, that was for weed.
Wasn't it for a pen? Like, yeah. Damn. That's just crazy if you get caught with that in the U.S., so it doesn't surprise me.
So VCU in 2011 got to the Final Four and lost to Butler.
Damn. Was that Gordon Hayward Butler, I'm assuming?
Yeah, maybe, because they went back-to-back. So that year, VCU was an 11 seed playing 8 seed Butler in the Final Four, so that was a fun year.
That's pretty sick. And then in the Midwest region, just to top it off, I'm going A&M. I think Houston's hurt. I think we beat Texas in our round of 32? And then again, like there's nobody really left. Auburn does not worry me. I guess it wouldn't make it past Houston anyways, but Drake definitely doesn't. I'm not really impressed with any other teams there. So I think Texas is the big hurdle that if we get over, we can make a run. That would be sick to get our first Final Four, especially with Texas in our wake. But
I'm definitely going to expose all of y'all whenever we get our group pool going. I'm just going to take screenshots of y'all's posts and post them on our Twitter page.
We'll run these clips, bro. It'll be something to behold when we look back at it. I just noticed something that could be a really interesting matchup. Maybe some higher powers in play here. But there's a chance that Drake could play Xavier in the Elite Eight, and then we'll find out if Drake actually killed X.
Nice. Connecting the dots.
There's certain parts to every single team that come out to play, and the people that actually win, I mean, they become famous, and it's an overnight sensation that sticks around just because of the tournament.
Dude, Sister Jean like looks like a zombie that's alive. It's actually correct.
Yeah, they're for sure pumping her with like.
Dude, like, it's kind of, like, fucked up. I feel like she's like, I don't want to go to the games anymore. But y'all keep qualifying for the tournament, and it's like, fucked up. I don't go.
Sister Jean or Joe Biden, which one's more alive right now? Or, like, higher odds to still be alive?
I don't know. Sister Jean has, like, a 101-0 record. I'm probably going her.
Yeah, she's definitely won way more basketball games than Joe Biden.
No doubt.
Y'all remember when Obama used to make a bracket and then like
that bracketology?
That was such a wild moment in like pop culture where like they're like, oh, this is so sick. The president's bracket every year. And I was like, is it good that the president is like ripping hours of college basketball? Just like, like why is that happening? Bro should be working.
He's got an 8-5 too. Chill.
I mean, a Trump version of that same show would have been like unbelievable.
UConn's the greatest team I've ever seen. They're great. That'd be kind of sick. I would actually appreciate that. I feel like there really could have been some great moments of Trump picking a bracket. And he'd be like, no, I never said that. I always knew Kansas was going to win.
Yeah. He's like, they use the AI. They use the chat GPT to cover me up.
Fake news. I picked you out.
Well.
All right. So we're going to be rolling out a snake draft. The snake draft this time around is our favorite Cinderella teams. Shrikito, you wanted to go first?
Yeah, I'll start it off. I mean, technically they were a 3 seed, so it wasn't like a true Cinderella, but I think just one of the most impressive runs that I remember. I was a senior in high school, so, you know, back in ancient times, and Kemba Walker was still wearing a UConn jersey. That crossover step back was just forever ingrained. You know, that was quite a run, man. So, you know, it's that's in my opinion, was probably the most entertaining run to the title, in my opinion. I think that Cinderella story, the Kemba kind of bringing it all together. It was just very memorable and, you know, probably number one for me.
That Big East championship game was insane. The 7 overtime. Mm-hmm. I will always remember that one. Hashim Thabeet.
He absolutely cooked that man. That dude got exposed so hard. Like, he just was the worst highlight you could possibly be, getting like your ankles broken and you fall down to lose like the championship game at the buzzer. It's just got to be the most embarrassing thing possible.
Yeah, shit was too lit.
I like that one. That's a hot start. I'm going to go with my original pick. It's got to be a George Mason from, I'm looking it up now, 2005, 2006. Absolutely electric team. I think that just always stuck with me. I'm assuming it's in Washington, D.C. I generally have no idea where it is, but I will always, if I ever heard somebody went to George Mason, be like, oh, dude, that was a sick Final Four run back in the day. They, turns out they lost to a 10-seeded Florida. I'm assuming that was like early Joakim Noah days, which Florida was an absolute wagon at that time. So I respect that, but I think it was a 10 seed and 11 seed in the Final Four, which is insane. So I don't know. I was probably like 10 or 11 when that happened. So it's been a minute, but I like them as my starting pick there.
Nice. I got a pretty easy one. Stephen F. Austin, 2019, taking down Duke. That was pretty sick. Like, in terms of teams being lit and teams being hype, Stephen F. Austin was pretty fucking hype after that game.
Dude, there's so many teams that have taken down Duke in the first round. I think I remember all of them. Stephen F. Austin, Lehigh.
So you're embarrassing yourself, though.
some of the greatest television I've ever seen in my life. Am I next?
Dude, like, Coach K is like a nationwide adored figure.
No, it's opposite.
No, he is, though. He's literally the coach of USA basketball.
No, he's America's villain.
I hold him right up there with Popovich, honestly, in terms of like likable, just like good basketball coach.
Nice. Yeah, that aligns well with being a retarded Nazi, so that's totally fine.
Is he a Nazi? What's the vibe?
Am I going first?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I have two. Okay, so I'm going to start off Dunk City, 2013, Florida Gulf Coast. Absolute wagon. They were 15 seed. They got to the Sweet 16. But it was like the most stylish run of all time in their two wins, just yamming on everybody. Like, where the hell did these guys come from? Like, every other play was a crazy dunk off the backboard, alley-oop. They were so much fun to watch, and that put them on the map. I think a lot of people just went to Florida Gulf Coast just because they heard about them after that. And they're like, oh shit, what is this school? It's like a school with like 400 students on the beach, and like no one actually goes to class. They just go to the beach the whole day. So that was a huge moment for their program, and we've never heard from them since, but it was electric. Second choice. This is tough. I'm between two that I really like here. All right. Well, I'm going to go with 2008 Davidson, Steph Curry's team. That was when Steph Curry was averaging I'm looking at it right now. He averaged 34.3 in the tournament. Like, it came to the point where these college teams just didn't know what to do because of how good he was. And they would just like literally play man and double team him and leave somebody open. Like, that was how dangerous he was that entire season at Davidson in the tournament. He was absolutely electric. Charlotte kid. And that was when I lived in North Carolina, and we were all like, holy shit, because we could see Davidson from afar. And then they played in the tournament, and he went on that little run. And that was kind of where he became Steph Curry. So that was awesome to watch.
All right.
Time you're up.
Yeah. No comments on the Davidson pick?
I mean, Steph Curry was sick. I'm a little bit jealous. Actually, wait, hold on. I do have a comment on it for the TikTok for our visual viewers.
Yeah, you have the jersey.
Of my dog, Steph Curry. If you take a look, this is basketball heritage. This is basketball history. That is your boy and Robert Williams at Chili Fest.
Hey, lift it up a little bit. There it is.
You see that Davidson jersey? You see the drill?
Yeah, that was taken from my closet because I had the sickest jersey collection in College Station for years.
You gave off a little bit of urgent energy, but it was dope.
The dubs that they got were impressive, man. I went back to look at them. Number 7, Gonzaga. Number 2, Georgetown. And number 3, Wisconsin. And then they lost by 2 points to number 1, Kansas. So that's a pretty when you think of how transcendent Chef Curry's been, like, to know it all, like, without that March Madness run, who knows? You know what I mean?
I kind of hated him that year. I don't even know why. I just, like, was the biggest hater of Steph Curry. And then
he wished you could have liked him, and he is.
No, he was just kind of like a bitch about, like, yes, it was fun to watch, but, like, he was like, oh, like, I'm sorry, I just ran the three.
But he's still doing that shit.
I was like, dude, fuck you. Yeah, like, he's still just as light-skinned and, like, bitchy, where it's like, they say Aisha cheats on him, bro. I'm just going to say that.
It's, like, probably an open marriage, bro.
They say she belongs to the streets, from what I've understood. So, whatever, man.
I think the crazy thing about that, because it's, like, historically looking at all of it, obviously, like, Steph Curry came and revolutionized basketball by what he did in the NBA. And it was, like, that season, that moment in March Madness when it's, like, this tiny little kid just fucking making all his shots. And it's, like, holy shit. And you're thinking to yourself and everyone, like, the national pundits, it's, like, this guy is just a total college player. He's at Davidson. He's not going to go to the NBA and do this. There's no way. And then it, like, from that point forward, changed the entire game of basketball. So, crazy. Turning point.
Thanks, Steph Curry. You fucking ruined ball, dick.
Yeah, my son's going to be shooting from half court.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't come to watch that shit. I want to see some ball movement. There's no one that loves women's basketball more than old white people do. Yep. I'm telling you, in College Station, those games will be packed with seniors. Absolutely filled to the brim. They are thrilled. They're literally like, oh. That ball movement was excellent. That's how the boys used to play it. I was like, whoa, dude. It's getting a little aggressive here. All right. My bad, Tom. Dad.
It's all good. So I'm going to go UMBC for my second pick, specifically because, I mean, for a 16 seed to beat a one seed, and not only beat a one seed, they beat the fuck out of Virginia. Like, they beat the shit out of what a lot of people considered to be the best team in 2018. And it genuinely makes me happy knowing that a 16 seed ruined the season for all of those seniors on the Virginia squad in embarrassing fashion.
That was incredible. That was like one of those games where you always remember where you were when you watched it and you were like, wow.
Isn't it like 280-something and one all time for the one versus 16 seed?
It's, you're right with the and one. I don't know what the other number is, but that's the only time it's probably ever happened. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
All right, I'm next up.
Do we want to talk about that game anymore? Because, like, I remember, like, specifically, it was like a bunch of bad games were on. It was like three bad games were on, including that one. And it's like, oh, it's a 116. Like, I'm gonna go do other stuff and touch grass. So I, like, left my apartment during that time. And we got dinner or something, whatever. And I was like being a good boyfriend. And then we come back and I hadn't even looked at the scores and we turned the screen on. And it's like UMBC's up by 26 with like 5 minutes left or whatever the fuck it was. And I was like, oh my God, holy fucking shit. And my now wife is like, what's the big deal? And I'm like, it's a 16 and a one. Like, are we even in the fucking, what's happening right now? And yeah, it was just absolute pandemonium for sure.
Dude, imagine, like, I wonder what the percentage points of brackets ruined was with just that one game.
It had to be 99.
Yeah, like, it had to be like 98, 99, I would imagine.
You remember that little run that their Twitter account went on after that too? Like, they were really feeling themselves and then they got like canceled for something.
Classic. Classic 2018.
That was a good one, Alex.
Let me go. My second pick is going to be, I believe it was 2006 LSU. Little question mark for the pod. I don't see LSU as a major rival still, but whatever.
LSU?
Yeah. I mean, people say that's like our biggest rival, which I think is bullshit.
No, but I don't even remember this one. Go on.
Big Baby Davis? You remember that run? They went to the Final Four. It was sick. I don't think they were really an underdog by any means. I'm trying to figure out what their seed was. But it was incredible. I can't remember who was. There was this guy who literally, I could jump the highest I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was 12 and I was like, this dude's going to be the best player ever in the NBA. I don't even know if he like ever even went to the NBA. Like, it was just, LSU, they're built different down there. So
was that Tyrus Thomas?
Yes, that's exactly who it was. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, bro. You remember that? It was crazy.
I remember that, yeah. Bro, he was dumb in 2K, bro. He was on the Bulls.
Wait.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Wait, can I quickly just have a little interjection? Because I just saw something that was wild. This is real, I think. So this looks like, yeah, dude, holy shit. So you know how March Madness, there's always commercials like based around something, and it's like a really specific annoying commercial like Orange Vanilla Coke. We talked about this last week. There apparently this year the big thing is going to be Coorsicles, and they are like Coors popsicle pops, like the ones that you'd have when you're a kid in the little like plastic things where you suck on them and they're like different colors, but it's like Coors and it's like it looks like frozen piss. I have to send you guys this thing.
Can you cleanse those hand motions you were doing for the TikTok?
Yeah, just this action, just like slide it up. Teach them early, baby. Like, just look at that. That was just, I saw that and I was like, holy shit. But yeah, let's.
Is it gay to be sucking on a beer popsicle?
Oh,
it's like the margarita popsicle thing. That just sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Coors Light already tastes like piss. I don't need to like suck on it.
Dude, whenever I went to Colorado to the Rockies game, like it was your only option was Coors Light. They love that shit there, bro.
Brewed in the Rockies. What do you expect?
Yeah, straight up. It was
Oh, wait, hold on. That just reminded me of the perfect story. I'm sorry, Shrek. We were at a bachelor party at the Rockies game. And we're all saying, you know what would be so sick is if we went, there's like a little place where you can see how fast you throw. The most incredible thing.
Why are we doing
that? I just went in there and threw a whopping 47 miles per hour after 5 tries. It was extremely tough to see.
Did you also mention that I had a partially torn rotator cuff?
Claims that was all after the fact was all. I mean, I've never seen you in any type of like sling or anything, bro. Like, it just seems like it's.
I went to fucking physical therapy for like 3 months.
I'm just saying, bro, you may have torn it in the act of throwing that 47 mile an hour fastball, but I don't think anything happened.
Just wait, boys. 30's coming. When I reach over my shoulder now, that should pop every time.
Also, it's bullshit that I get roasted for that when there were like 6 guys that sat out and they were like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I know my shoulder's hurt. I told people the entire way through the line my shoulder was hurt and it was going to be a disaster, but I fucking did it anyways.
You might have just known that.
Let's throw a football, boy. Come on, bro. Play me one-on-one in basketball. Okay.
You might have just known you were going to have some people and just knew you would make excuses before. I threw like, I'm not even saying my speed was that great. I threw it like 64. But I'm just saying.
I didn't play baseball and my shoulder was fucked up. And I've thrown harder than that in the past. I know for a fact. But anyways, the Coorsicles are non-alcoholic. So it's literally just like drinking pee. You're just like, it's carbonated piss water. Piss. And it's not, it doesn't even get you drunk. They're just like cold.
It's dope.
Whoever thought of that to make it non-alcoholic,
bro? What
they have lollipops.
Looking at the picture right now, it has the 21 and up sticker on.
Yeah, but when you read the article, it says that they don't have alcohol in them, and then it says there's Coors lollipops too. I don't know if this is real. I think that I might have stumbled
what in and
out of the 16-1 universe for the Virginia game.
All right, Shrek, bring us home with the snake draft, yeah.
Well, it's just got to be the most recent, bro. St. Peter's, man, reluctantly tailing them like after their first dub, they beat Kentucky. That was fucking stupid. And I was like, there's no way this happens again. Then I got drunk and we were like, this is happening again. So we all put $100 on it, cashed it. And it was quite the run for them, bro. That was very impressive. The whole Peacock Nation thing, their Twitter account went on a little ride too. Like, it was a very entertaining time. So that, I mean, that's the best thing you can hope for in March Madness, you know, just someone like that you ain't never heard of, 15 seed, destroying fucking Texas. Like, let's say Colgate goes on a run and then shits on the world. All of a sudden, everybody wants to buy toothpaste and fucking put it on their shirts, you know? you never know what'll happen, bro. Like, anybody, no, it's fucking March Madness, baby. That's why it's madness, you know?
I feel like they'd be, like, eating toothpaste rather than putting it on their shirt. But if Colgate wins, I'm housing this whole fucking tube. Just wait. Will you commit to that? Shrek, if Colgate wins, you have to put an entire tube, not entire, maybe like a mouthful at least in your entire mouth of just pure toothpaste. You don't have to, obviously, I think you would die if you swallowed. Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not going to swallow that shit, but yeah, I'm going to spit it out.
You have to have like squirrel cheeks with it.
Yeah. I'll kind of see that shit like.
Hey, bro. I'll do that happily.
All right, let's go.
Clip it. It's clipped. TikTok world. It's clipped.
We here. Damn. You heard it here first. First of all, a big peacock guy. Then he agreed to get a little toothpaste nut in his mouth. So that's crazy. But you do you, bro. I respect you and your decisions. And
I'm going to use the wintergreen to keep the Trek colors, baby.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on, or we want to wrap it up here?
No, I mean, the crazy thing about this whole thing is we didn't even talk about the Penn State game. So we're playing on Thursday night. It's a 9 p.m. Start. We're not going to dive into it because it is what it is. If we lose, then we're not playing Texas. If we win, we're going to play Texas, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. So I think that we've got everything covered tonight, boys. Let's have a fun fucking March Madness. When are you guys getting vasectomies tomorrow or on Thursday morning?
I just punched myself in the nuts, so I'm good.
Shrek, you probably need one more than the rest of us.
No, in the traditional Mexican fashion, I made my wife do the more dangerous procedure.
Hey, dale, fool. Let's go.
Growing up in a traditional Mexican household. All right. Well, this was fun, boys. We'll catch you next time. Thank you, guys.
Madness, baby.